Hi, my name is Justin.
Hi, I'm Hart.
And we have unconventional views about the world, according to the world. And so this is a podcast that we're planning to start up. And every episode we'll be talking about something that is an important component of our life and explains what and why we think what we think. And every episode we're going to have one topic and we're going to just talk about it and have specific ideas and conversations and questions about it. And this episode, we're just going to be talking about ourselves and our worldview and how we have come to decide the things in our head. And part of it's the way we're raised, part of it's our reading, part of it's our education. It's a little bit of everything. And before we start getting into these topics, we want to give you some background information and context before we come in. Okay. So we're always going to begin with 15 minutes of current events because I believe that it is very important for us to stay informed about the things that are happening in our world. So Hart, can you read us the first little story here? Just
COVID-19 cases begin to rise once again.
All right. COVID-19 cases begin to rise once again. And basically what's happening, of course, I mean, this is all over the news. Basically what the news is talking about all the time. The first COVID case was in the United States, was seen, I believe, according to the CDC, the 22nd of January. And then it begins exponentially rising. And then it starts dropping off in about April or May. And then now that it's the start of July, right smack dab in the summer, we have what was estimated to be something like 44,000, 50,000 confirmed cases in the past couple of days. That's crazy, isn't it? We're not doctors, right? And this is something, a recurring theme of this podcast. You know, we don't have very much authority to say something definitively about other things of specific disciplines, but Maybe we can't explain the causes, right? But we can definitely explain the effects and how it affects us as students, right? So, Hart, what do you think about this?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it's like the flu, you know, it goes in a season, out of season, and stuff like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see it again after it dies down. It has hurt a lot of people and still happening, and it's expected a lot more, like a broader range than other diseases normally do.
And especially about coronavirus, not only is it more infectious than the flu, it is beginning to target certain age groups around the country. So towards the beginning, the vast majority of people with COVID-19 cases were the elderly and the young, but now it is targeting young adults and those in their 20s and 30s. And in fact, it was recently announced that only about 40% of Harvard students are going to be returning to classes. And that poses another big problem about going back to school, right? We're smack dab in the middle of summer and there's only about a month left until we go back to school. And I mean, in the traditional sense, what's going to become of that? You know, what do you think, you know, how will it affect school? How is it affecting it now? I guess it's in the middle of summer, but how is it going to affect when back to school season is going to start?
Well, it's going to definitely affect me. You know, being a homeschooler, I go to classes a couple days a week. So it's definitely going to change that to being online and all that. And they don't know if we're going back, like, on campus or not. So it's definitely changed that.
Yeah, I mean, as going to my first semester of college in maybe a month or two, I think that there's a very high likelihood that things are still going to be canceled and we're still going to have heavily sanctioned precautions throughout many sectors of our lives, whether it be work, school, play. And we initially thought at the end of March that this would be over by May. Right, it would peak in May, it would peak in June, and then it would just die down by this time. But what many are referring to as the second wave, right, the second wave of coronavirus, do you think this is caused by people being very negligent about social distancing practices? people refusing to wear masks, things like that? Do you think it's just a result of something else?
Well, knowing what masks some people wear, the masks don't do anything. It's just there for looks, basically. Like, people will only put it up to, like, their, like, over their mouth and not their nose. So if you're breathing through your nose, you're still spreading things. So it doesn't do a whole lot. Yeah. So I don't know, like, how it should actually be, like, if that actually helps or not helps. I guess it does if it's depending on how it's transmitted.
Okay. So maybe it's a little both. Maybe it's a little bit of people, you know, failing to maintain social distancing and wearing masks, and that's explaining some of the rise of the COVID cases. And maybe there are other things, like maybe the virus is getting more vicious, or maybe, you know, now this is the summertime, everybody's coming out, and that's just the nature of things. And, you know, again, we can't really explain the causes, we can speculate, but we can definitely observe the adverse effects that are happening in our lives, and that's something that we'll be talking about throughout this podcast, even so. All right, so the next story is that the Supreme Court rules states can punish faithless electors who buck popular votes. I'm going to give you some background information on this one. So it was decided on July 6th, which is today, that the states can sanction certain laws that will punish or replace, get rid of, or give consequence to people who they've chosen for their electoral college who vote the other way. So I'll explain this. It is the electoral college is how we choose our president, right? So it's not we don't directly vote for our president through the popular vote. The electoral college eventually decides who becomes president. And how that works is that each state does choose a certain amount of people to be selected for the Electoral College. And that number corresponds with how many representatives they have in Congress, both the Senate and in the House of Representatives. And the popular vote decides where all those votes go to. So typically, let's say there's 80% Republican votes and 30% or 20%, I can't math, sorry, 20% Democrat votes. Even though there's an 80-20 split, Arkansas has 6 seats in the Electoral College. All 6 seats go to Republican because the Republicans, because the Republican came out on top of the popular vote. And so what started happening was that some electors will not give their vote to the popular vote in that state, you know? So they says, I know my state voted Democrat, but I want to vote for a Republican. And so I'm going to break my pledge that I made, and I'm going to become a faithless elector and cast my vote, one in however many in the Electoral College. And so I hope that's a fair explanation of that. And basically what the Supreme Court is saying today is that states can make laws to say, hey, you can't do that. That's not fair to the people. That's not being representative to the people and how that's being done. And that states can really enforce fines and remove people who break their pledges as a seat on the Electoral College. So what do you think about that?
I kind of agree with that. Like, it should be up to the people of who they vote for. I don't know if there would be a better way to do it or not, but I don't know. Just going against what it should be, there's rules for reasons, so.
Right. Typically speaking, it's just that someone did make a pledge to give their vote to the popular opinion of the state. And maybe now that we have time, generally, it was a unanimous decision in the Supreme Court. And that probably tells you something about, this really isn't a party-divided issue. But what is a party-divided issue? And since we have time, we can talk about it a little bit. Do you think that the Electoral College is actually the most effective way or the most secure American way to elect a president? Right? Because some people will say, we need to just go popular vote. We need to go direct democracy. We need to vote people solely based on whoever votes on whoever. Or do you agree with the founding fathers, you know, who wrote the Federalist Papers and said, we need the Electoral College. We're scared of democracy.
Well, I don't know. If we go popular vote, that can get pretty dangerous, because at one point Israel was ruled by like God and prophets and stuff, but then they wanted a king, and once they got a king, it kind of went downhill from there. So it can be dangerous to put all the power in the hands of the people, but I mean, if we did do a popular vote thing, I feel like there should be safeguards, some safeguards of, I don't know what they would be exactly, but
yeah. And the whole point of the Electoral College is that it is a safeguard from the popular vote. The Founding Fathers didn't want the popular vote to be the deciding factor in whoever gets to become president. Because the public can be very easily swayed. You know, something comes out right before Election Day, and, you know, it's, or something happens, and there's no buffer in between the presidency and the people in order to determine, you know, who gets the presidency. And the rule of the mob is a very dangerous thing, and we know that many of us are we know that two wolves and a sheep voting for who to eat for dinner, right? Or sorry, excuse me if I said that wrong. We know that the rule of the mob is a very dangerous thing, and that the mob is very fickle in how they want things to be decided. And that is why we have the House of Representatives, and then we have the House of the Senate, which bridges the divide between people, right, and then more executive type elite class of people. And what the Electoral College does is it maintains the sense of the people, as in they will give the vote to whoever won, right, in democracy. But it also is the buffer between the mob, you know, becoming absolutely insane, and then the Electoral College hopes to seat people who are informed and know about politics, but at the same time is not bound to federal or state employment. Like, you can't be a representative and then become an elector, right? And so that kind of connection gives them a unique advantage in that they both have the advantage of maintaining the sense of the people, right, in Federalist 68 by Alexander Hamilton, but at the same time making wise and discerning decisions that go against the flow of the mob and that are bad in the long run for the country. And the Electoral College acts as that kind of buffer. I'm very pro-Electoral College, right, and, you know, studying politics and history, I believe that it's actually done us much more good than the popular vote itself. But of course, others are inclined to disagree and think that the Electoral College has made many fluke elections, right? Making people president when they shouldn't be, as a matter of fact. And I find that people that fail to understand the Electoral College think that the popular vote should be the method of how the president should be elected. And the Electoral College is complicated for a reason, right? They did make it very complicated, and that was with reason. So anyway, now we're going to move on past current events, and we're going to talk about us, ourselves. Hooray. okay, I'm going to give you, I feel like I've been talking forever. Hart, what can we know about you, buddy?
Well, as I said earlier, I'm a homeschool person, yeah. So that does change the way I think, because I have not experienced public school. I've never been there, so I have no clue what it is like.
You have no clue what it is like, right. So, explain to us your how religion plays a role in your life, right?
Your belief is the basis of how you see the world.
Mm.
We act the way we act because we believe the way we believe.
Right.
So, if you believe whatever, you know, the sky is pink, that, you know, you're going to act upon that. So my religious views is, I'm a Baptist, a Southern Baptist. So, yeah, I mean, that with that view, I look at the world around me with that, like, as a standing ground.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's, of course, very important. And that kind of worldview plays into how we start interpreting these complex issues that we're going to talk about on our podcast. Now, Hart, what are some of your interests? Like, what do you like to do in your free time? You know, what are you, like, you know, artistically oriented, mechanically oriented? You know, what's going on there?
I really enjoy electronics and computer stuff. Like, yeah, building robots, all that jazz.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that you're good at, you know, you're a math and science kind of guy? Or like a English? And, like, what are your strongest subjects in school?
Math and science is definitely the strongest. Like, when it gets into languages and art stuff, it's not as good.
Right. So. Absolutely. Go ahead. Let's see if we can talk about your family. You know, how has your family influenced the way that you think, and how have they really, you know, shaped you into the person you are today?
Well, my family is very close. There's 8 kids. That,
wow.
7 of them were birthed, like, from my parents, but then one was adopted. So, yeah, it's a big family, and we are very close. So, with that, I feel like have a better anchor of, we can run to the other siblings, the parents, or whatever, to have comfort or to help us through a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a plethora of people there that can help with anything you really have. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's so important. And I think that a lot of issues in the world stems from broken families and divorces and things like that. And yeah, there is such a huge basis of emotional, psychological, and physical support that you have there, and that's incredible. That really shows how a person really turned out. So we've talked about your family, and let's go ahead and move on and see, you know, what are some of the ways that you express or interpret what you believe, as in, like, you know, books or writing or discussion. You know, what do you think really strongly suits you to express the way that you're feeling?
Well, to be honest, I have a hard time expressing myself because I feel like words don't do it justice.
Right.
Of expressing or conveying the idea of what I have. It's not very clear sometimes because of how the English language and how terrible it is. But, I try, so.
Absolutely. Do you have something in your life that you want to talk about right now? I mean, do you have something interesting that, like, you know, future plans, people, specific people in your life that have had a really great impact or influence on you?
I mean, the people who have impacted me the most is mostly my family and my church family, so.
We're going to dive deeper into different topics as the podcast goes on, and this segment is going to be filled with all sorts of questions and topics and discussions and research, but let's go ahead and find out what you think. I mean, this is only going to scratch the surface, but, you know, what you think on certain topics, and I'm just going to throw them out there, and you're going to give a brief summary of the kinds of things that you think about, and hopefully that'll lay a basis of you know, what you think about, and people can extrapolate what you would think about other topics. So let's start with nature. What's your view on nature, like the earth, the outside?
Nature's? What do you mean by that exactly?
Like,
I believe it came from God. That's one thing that most people probably won't agree on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. There's that, and are we being good stewards of it? Maybe not as good as we could be. But,
all right.
But I do enjoy it. I do like just sitting there in the beauty of God's creation and taking it all in.
Absolutely.
Because no human can reproduce that scene.
Right.
They can draw it, but it's not the same. as the actual physical place.
Okay. What do you think about people? Humans? There's so many things to say about that.
Actually, I just said earlier today, is anyone else tired of the world?
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean by, like, what do I think about them? Like origin-wise, or, yeah, like...
Everything. You know, this is where we're casting a wide net here. You know, you can start wherever you want. It's not, you don't have to give a comprehensive answer.
Well, I believe we did not evolve from any other species or kind or breed or whatever. I mean, okay. Like, there is some adaptation to where, like, we become not better suited, but we do have different varieties of shading and skin to, you know, kind of help with the environment you're in with, you know, sun and all that. So, yes, there is some, like, microevolution, but not macroevolution, to where we didn't come from a bird or a fish or whatever.
Okay.
God created us in his image.
All right. What about technology? You know, what's your view on technology and how they interface with humans? How they interface with the world?
It's crazy what we can do with technology. Like, there's a lot of good that can come from it, like the ability to replace certain, like, body parts. Like, we can put a camera, I'm pretty sure, like, in the eye, and somehow the brain will be able to read from the camera and see through it, which is mind-blowing that we've only had this technology, you know, it's fairly recent, it's last 10 years or so, but there's so much that has happened from just the start of technology in general. So, it's just the advancement that we have is really good medically,
mm-hmm.
but there's another side where it's also dangerous for, not dangerous, but in the wrong hands, that can get out of hand really quick. It's
right. It poses ethical questions, doesn't it? And I would love to do just an episode about ethical questions and just bringing up different scenarios and explaining, you know, what we think about that. Before we go ahead and transition to my story, let's go ahead and talk about you and a condition that you have. You're diabetic. You're type 1 diabetes, right?
Type 1 diabetic, and I have just gone through scoliosis surgery to correct it. So, yeah, I've been through a lot that most kids my age probably can't say that they have. So,
yeah.
That also changes my view of how I see things. It's different because of my, I want to call it a disability, but my physical, I don't know what you would call that.
I guess it would be a condition, right? That's a good way to put it. Would you say it's a challenge that you are facing, or would you say that it's just something that you just wake up every day and just say, it's part of me, you know?
I mean, it is a part of me, but there is times where it is a challenge. You have to constantly remember to do things with keeping your sugars in check and all that, but then sometimes it gets just annoying. But, I don't know, it changes my views on a lot of things, like drinking and, you know, gluttony. It does change. So, yeah, there's a lot of different things that, I don't know, which I know if I wasn't a diabetic, I would probably take it for granted that about eating in general, so.
Absolutely. Okay, so thank you, Hart, for sharing your story and sharing so much. And I guess it's time for me to introduce myself. So I'm Justin, and first of all, I guess I would like to say that I'm a Christian, right? And I have very deep roots in the Bible, so I'm very biblically centered. You know, that's like primary to me. That's number one. The truths that the Bible speak of, I'm unashamed of, and I will just preach until the day I die. And I guess on a side note, I'm going into college, and I'm majoring in computer science. So I guess I'm mechanically inclined as Hart is, and that is something that we share in common, our interest in technology. I mean, he really loves the tinkering part of it, right? As I like the big overarching kind of things that I can create with technology, and we just have overlapping circles. But other than that, we are actually pretty different as far as school subjects go, right? I am an English and reading and history kind of guy. My weak points are in science and in math. Hart, you know, he is very good at algebra, I assume, and he's very good at biology and physics. And I would prefer to take apart a sentence structure. You know, I would prefer to take a vocabulary test, a spelling test or something like that. And it's certain parts of English as well, but I love reading so much. It's become a huge part of me. And we're going to spend an entire podcast episode on reading, and I'm so excited. But part of this is because I have a background in classical Christian education, which is, of course, the Trivium and the Quadrivium. And so that was a model back in the day that was established by the Christian founders of the church. And basically, it splits up the education cycle of a child from now until they're reaching adulthood. Let me go ahead and explain that real fast. So first, you have grammar, which is the stage where you memorize facts and stuff, and you take in all that you can, and you memorize dates and events, and you build the foundation for words and letters and sentences and paragraphs, and you really build a foundation of how you start to think and you start to form, and you start, it's just bringing in all the information. And that's the perfect age to do it too, from about 0 to 6th grade. And because you're very young and you get to absorb all the information, and that's really the prime age to do that. Second is logic, which is you take all the information and you start bridging the gaps. You start saying, oh, this is how it's connected. Oh, this connects with that. Oh, this really, and you start developing from about 7th to 9th grade, 10th grade even, you start breaking apart all of the information that you absorbed as a child, and you start making connections. You start saying, oh, that's the way that it is. Oh, you know, that's why we do things like this. And that is really where you become solidified in your belief. And that's how you start interpreting things around the world with you as your senses and as your body matures and as you get more experience. And finally, the last stage is rhetoric. So you have grammar, you have logic, you have rhetoric. And rhetoric is the ability to articulate what you are saying. I mean, it's more than articulating and orating, but it is articulating, expressing, writing down, and presenting what you are saying and how you present it and why you present it. Learning about those types of things, about all the logic stuff that you had just determined. Let's say in the grammar stage, you learn about the Revolutionary War, right? You learn all about the facts and figures and dates and history behind it. And then in the logic stage, you start determining, oh, the Revolutionary War has effects in the government today. It determines how our government is made. It determines, you know, how the president is elected. It determines how the votes are. And it all stemmed from that one war, and the United States came of it. And then in the rhetoric stage, you learn to start articulating these things. You learn to start saying these things. And that is, I guess, part of the podcast is that as you're entering the rhetoric stage and I'm still in the rhetoric stage, you know, last the rest of your life, I want to be able to help. I want to help grow our ability to start speaking on these issues. And that's something that is really, really important to me. So that's classical Christian education. And I love reading. Again, as I said, I have read some of the greatest works in human civilization, of course, all in the Bible. You know, I've read Dante and Greek classics, the Odyssey, you know, the Iliad. So much more. And I've created tons of essays and things like that. And I have just a very classical understanding of history and things like that. So yeah, that's my background in education. My education history is a little bit interesting because I started off in public school and I spent 7 years in the public school system from 0 to 6th grade. And that has formed a really big part of my life. That is where, you know, I learned that I like to socialize a little bit more than I like to stay home. I like to go out a little bit more, right? I'm more of an extrovert than an introvert. Are you an introvert, or would you say?
More of an introvert than an extrovert.
Yeah, he's more of an introvert. So yeah, we have clashing personalities there. But public school was where I really determined, you know, I really like people connections, right? That means a whole lot to me. And then, all of a sudden, after the seventh grade, I became homeschooled. And I would, first of all, participate in co-op homeschooling, right? Where I would be homeschooled through a certain curriculum, but other teachers would teach me. And then I would do online school. I did online school for 2 years. And then I did traditional homeschooling, where something like the parents, family members would be the primary source of education. And so I have gone through almost every type of educational institution that has existed, right? I mean, including self-taught, in that I have self-taught myself a lot of this stuff, you know, all this technology stuff that I'll explain later that I've self-taught. But I have been subjected to all sorts of stuff and exposed to all sorts of education. And I really would, you know, I really would love to give credit to my parents for allowing me to experience all these types of different things, because without it, I would lack perspective. And I think that's an interesting perspective that I have just being there. You know, I don't understand a lot of the things that happens in every single one, and I don't understand real well as someone like you who has been homeschooled your entire life and educated in one way. I think I have a very interesting perspective to share, and that definitely contributes to my views of education, especially. So yeah, there's that. You want to talk about building computers next?
I know. It is fun. I'm just not very good at it. Now starting to learn. So.
Yeah, okay. So I like to build computers, and I'm not very good at them. But I do love to buy parts, salvage parts, and I like understanding the way that they work. And this is something that Hart and I share in common, that we love to just tinker, right? And Hart tinkers because he gets the satisfaction of doing stuff like making games and displaying games on a certain output, or programming things to be a certain way, and he gets satisfaction out of completing things with his own hands. And for me, I have that satisfaction too, but that's not the whole reason I do it. I do it because I want to, you know, enrich the experiences that I have on technology, right? So like, I'm a video editor, right? Editing audio and playing video games and browsing the internet. You know, I want to make those little things in life that much better by building these computers. And that's something that I've come to realize, that I don't actually, you know, enjoy the building and tinkering and soldering and placing as much as you do, Hart. And I commend you for that. That takes technical skill. Yeah, that's just the way that I'm wired. I like to build computers, and I like to tinker with them. And I like cool stuff. I like cameras too, you know. As far as family goes, I have two brothers and a sister, and all of them, I repeat, all of them are smarter and more talented than I am. They are incredibly smart. I think I'm comfortable saying this. My brother Christian is incredibly smart, and you know this. You know, he's tutoring you right now, but he's got a 35 on his ACT. He is going to college with me. I mean, yes, he's going to college. That's no surprise. But he is 2 years early. He's graduating 2 years early, and he's a brilliant on the piano, and he's pretty much a virtuoso, basically. And his IQ is so high. He's really good at video games he plays, and I love bragging on him so much. And that's Christian. And we have Christopher. He's also so smart, and he's so fit and everything, and honestly, and my sister as well. She's incredibly smart. I don't even know how they have just surpassed me in every way, and I love that about them. You know, I love that I get to be the guinea pig of the family, and that they have just turned out so well, and they have bright futures ahead of them, and that kind of thing. And I love my family. My dad is an entrepreneur. He was an immigrant. He's just gone through so many things after escaping the Vietnam War, and I really admire him. And in the same way, I admire my mom, who was also an immigrant, and she works hard, just relentless, caring for her children. And once again, my brothers and sisters, so incredibly smart, so incredibly talented, so incredibly sane and great at everything they do. And I feel like, you know, being able to live with them and being able to be with them just in general is such a privilege. And if I am the worst one out of this pack, I'm completely fine with that, because that just makes me want to become better. And I have a fantastic family. I cannot brag about them enough. they're amazing, and they have become a really big way, especially my dad. They become a really big influence on the way that I think about politics and religion and psychology and everything like that. And I hope that I'll get to express some of the things that they've taught me. So yeah, that's my family. Education has always been an important part of my life. You know, my dad and mom have pushed me with much effort and to a great degree in order for me to earn straight A's. And I mean, my record has not been perfect, far from it. But I really am working hard to try to secure the future of my family and to make my mom and dad proud. And that education emphasis is so big in my family and so prevalent in my family that it really has become part of the way that we think. And our high emphasis on education really shows through whenever we're making decisions and whenever we're watching other people make decisions and advising them, right? School, no school. Study, no study, et cetera, et cetera. And that is really something that has been ingrained in all of my brothers, my sister, and I. So yeah, that's that. We've studied music, I guess, on topic of things that we're interested in. We love music. You know, we love to play the piano. You know, we have our foot dipped into other pools, I guess, of instruments. We love to sing. We're not particularly good at it, but and I know your family's the same way, because your mom is an amazing pianist, and so is Hopi, your sister. But especially this day and age, where a lot of people don't play instruments just for the fun of it or just to praise God anymore, right? And I think that especially the church that we go to has a really fantastic music program and a fantastic music director, and that has really been a big part of our lives, just learning music and how sound works and how that's integrated in math. And that's another podcast episode, speaking of which, and great segue, we're just going to be talking about sound for an entire podcast, and a section of that includes music, and that's great. So anyway, just to wrap me up, you know, I'm willing to listen to anything. I have a background in debating, and I will say what I need to say, but I'm also willing to sit down and listen and talk through these things, and I really don't get angry easily, and I think we're just going to have a chill time. How about that, Hart?
Well, I'm similar I haven't done debate or anything, but I do like the conversation of going back and forth with people, that's what I like when I, like, Bible studies and stuff. That's what I really like, is the smaller groups where they can talk back and forth and actually work out problems, which, you know, might go back to how I like to tinker with stuff. It's, you know, we find problems and we have to work them out and stuff. So, yeah.
So here comes the question, big old question. Okay. You know, why are you watching this? Why are you listening to this? All right. Why do our views matter? What is a couple of students who are about to go into college? Why is it that you should listen to us, or that you should listen to the way that we talk, or what we think? And as the answer turns out, it's not really about what we think, right? And we'll answer that. And I have a couple of scripture passages that we'll turn to, and I want to explain to you more in depth, you know, the purpose and the reasoning behind why we're just sitting behind a microphone and talking like good buddies. All right. So the first one is going to be 1 Corinthians 2:13. Corinthians, this is the first letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Actually, it's a pretty brutal letter, all things considered, but it has so much wisdom, and the Corinthians are some of my favorite passages just to be able to read. So Hart, do you have it pulled up?
Yeah.
All right, if you'll go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13.
We impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truth to those who are spiritual. That's the ESV version.
Very good. Okay, before I you know, explain why I took that verse, you know, what do you think about it? What does that say to you?
That it is not, like, it is not, like, how smart I am or how smart anyone is isn't of our own accord. It's what God has allowed us, what He's opened our eyes to. And speaking Christian, like, as a Christian, we even see even deeper than some of the non-believers, like, view things.
Absolutely.
And it's not our, like, it's not because I'm so good that I'm thinking this way. It's because God just has opened my eyes, or our eyes as Christians, to it.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right by saying it's not about us. You know, it's not our wisdom. We don't impart these words to you, you know, in context. You know, this is wisdom from the Spirit, right? The text is talking about, this passage is basically talking about how some people just say these things because, oh, look how great I am. You know, lofty speech or wisdom. You know, look how great I talk. And we really don't want to push that kind of thinking upon the listeners, or whoever decides to listen to this, I guess. You know, we impart these words not taught in human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. Okay, and interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. And we want to say that these things is a demonstration of things that we've learned directly from the Bible and directly from the great teachers, biblical scholars that we know and have in our lives. And we want you to understand that it is Christ first and foremost, and it is the Bible first and foremost over anything that we say. All right. So the next verse is going to be in Romans 1:16. Romans is awesome too. Just to say, Romans has
something. Romans has a lot of the deeper subjects that are going on in today's society.
Yeah, and we will be reading a lot from Romans from this podcast, trust me. All right. So Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So I guess I'll explain this one, and then you can explain what you think about this after. So a lot of us, especially when I was younger, I had a lot of doubt that I wasn't preaching the gospel enough, or that I wasn't doing my part in preaching the gospel. Because I sat in the pew and in church, and the pastor would say, "Preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel, Great Commission, preach the gospel. This is what we got to do." Okay, and I said, "Wow, I'm really not doing that." And that really convicted me. And now that I have the tools and materials in order to do this, and a time to be able to do this, I really want to, I guess, minister. I don't know if that's the right word. I don't know if I have the ability to minister to anyone in this capacity, but I really want to be able to preach the gospel, because it is the gospel, because it is so important, and because showing how the gospel makes us think is just so essential to life in general and eternal salvation, and gives us a purpose in life, right? It gives us hope for the life after. Hart, what do you think?
Being ashamed of the gospel, like, that's what even the first Christians had to deal with, is hiding it and stuff. And unlike them, they seemed to have enough faith to be able to proclaim it. But then again, it wasn't them that gave them that faith. It was God who gave them that faith to stand up to the world and preach the gospel. And in a similar way, we can ask God for the strength to not be ashamed of the gospel. I know it's hard at times, and I personally haven't been in a situation where I've been felt threatened or anything and had to stand up by myself or anything. But it's because I'm homeschooled and stuff like that, so I don't have as many opportunities as you do, which is another thing, you know, where we're not exactly the same, so different views.
Okay. Absolutely. Okay, last verse. Proverbs 27:17. And I'd just like to ask you to read this one and then go ahead and tell me what you think about it.
Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Which, that's if it's done in the right way. Because, you know, just like sharpening knives and weapons, if you don't do it the right, you're not going to have the fine point and be as, you know, a precise instrument with that, if you can, like, communicate with people and stuff. If you're debating in the right way, it can help to actually both parties, not just one. You know, it can actually help kind of build the knowledge and the like foundation of it.
That's right. Yep. So yeah, so this is especially relevant now because since, you know, we are expressing our beliefs and views about the world around us, you know, it's important to understand that we need to sharpen each other the right way, yes, but just sharpening each other in general, and whoever is listening to this, we hope that it's beneficial to you. And as one man sharpens another, you know, we hope to strengthen your belief and give you perspective as students, you know, as young people, articulating what we've been taught and what we're saying. We hope to inspire you, and we hope to inspire each other through this. And hopefully it'll be good. So as we're about to wrap this up, Hart, do you have any final thoughts you want to say?
I hope this does help some people or interest some people.
Yeah, absolutely. And if it feels like I'm talking a lot this time, it is. Trust me. I am. But next week, Hart will be the host. Or actually, whenever we decide to do this, Hart will be doing a lot more of the talking. Don't you worry about that. If you're okay with that, of course. But
I can try.
Yeah, he can try.
That's another part where we differ, because I'm not very talkative when it comes to talking to a multitude of people.
Yeah. If anyone watches this, that's just assuming.
Right? If anyone,
yeah. Okay, well, thank you for coming. Thank you for watching, just in general. And thank you, Hart, for being with me. You know, we really appreciate this. And I think this will be really beneficial for me, especially. But I hope that it helps other people as well. And we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.